Oh, good morning. Good morning. Can you guys hear me? Am I out there? Am I in the? Sorry. I know you. That's like the worst thing. You hate when I do that. Good morning. I have one final announcement for you. This one I am very, very, very excited about. How many of you are aware or just know what JHM Daily Word is? Awesome. Good. That's a lot of you. I think there was one person last night, so this is an improvement. JHM Daily Word, starting in January, however you want to look at that, we started something called JHM Daily Word. We're reading through the New Testament as a junior high ministry. Every month, you've received a bookmark just like this with a reading plan on the back of where to read, what chapter, what book you're in the Bible. And it's a great place to get started. If you've sat and you're like, I have no idea, this book is intimidating, it's huge, I don't know where to start. Well, JHM Daily Word is a great tool for you. For some of you brand new seventh graders, you're like, I have no idea what this is. Now's your opportunity to get started. We're kind of relaunching it in a sense this weekend. So you're going to get a bookmark as you walk out this weekend. It's nice red, white, and blue. Go America. Red, white, and blue bookmark. But this month is a little different. We added something along the bottom for you. We want this time that you spend reading your Bible every day to be intentional. We want it to be a time where you truly grow in your relationship with God. So we added these three words on the bottom. It says pray, read, reflect. Pray, read, reflect. Every day when you open your Bible and you look at this bookmark and you look and say, okay, where am I today? I'm in Luke chapter 4. Okay, that's what I'm going to read today. Every day when you do that, we want you to follow these steps. So first, you're going to pray. You're going to pray and say, God, show me yourself in this scripture. Teach me as I read this today. Show me what you want me to learn from this. Just spend time speaking to God and asking him to reveal himself in the scripture that you're about to read that day. Then you're going to read. That's pretty self-explanatory. Read wherever you're supposed to be that day. And then finally, reflect. We don't want you to just kind of buzz through the chapter to say, oh yeah, I read my Bible today, and not get anything out of it. We want you to read it and then reflect on what you read. So if you're into journaling, that's a great time to journal. If you want to pray again and just say, God, help me to apply what I read today to my life. Help it to shape me from the inside out and draw me closer to you. Whatever that looks like for you, we want you to pray, read, and reflect as you use this bookmark to dive deeper into God's Word. So like I said, every single one of you are going to get one of these on the way out. We're so excited. If you're looking for a place to start in reading God's Word, use this bookmark. It is a great, great tool for that. So as we get started today in God's Word, we are going to continue in 1 Timothy. We started this series, our summer series in 1 Timothy, about 2 weeks ago. Not about, exactly 2 weeks ago. And we're picking it up again today. And as I was studying for this and reading this text, we're still in chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17 today. And as I was studying for this, I couldn't help but think, I got to get up there and I got to ask him something. I got to ask him a question. So I wonder for each of you sitting in here today, have you ever made a mistake that wound up in the end being awesome? Has that ever happened to you? Like you do something, you're like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And then 5 seconds later, you're like, that was the coolest thing ever. It's like roller coasters for me. I'm terrified. I feel like I'm going to wet myself every time I'm about to get on one. And then I get off and I'm like, I got to do that again. It was a mistake at first, but it turned out awesome. For some of you that play sports, you baseball and softball players, baseball is the greatest sport that's ever been made, in case you're wondering. Yes, it is, Kane. Yes, it is. It's better than just like a game where you just tackle sweaty guys. It's weird. That's football, by the way. Maybe for you that are baseball or softball players, you know what it's like to swing at a really bad pitch and hit it a long, long way. At first, like everybody looking at you is like, no, the ball's above your head. And then it flies out of the park and you're like, oh, see, look what I did. Turns out awesome. Maybe, I have no idea what this is like, because I am a superior athlete. Can't you tell by looking at me? I'm just kidding. But maybe for some of you that have ever played the wonderful game of basketball, and this applies to almost all the guys in my group, I'm just going to say that right now. But maybe some of you know what it's like to to throw a shot up with your eyes closed, and then it goes in for the game winner. And of course, you don't tell anybody that, right? Like, you throw it up, and you're like, oh, yeah, and then you look up, and your eyes are open, and it goes in. You're like, I meant to do that. Totally, I meant to do that. It's a mistake that turns out awesome. I hope what you catch what I'm throwing today. I'm not talking about a mistake like eating at Filiberto's, right? Yeah. See, that's the opposite. That's the opposite. It's awesome at first, and then it's a mistake later. You know what I'm talking about. Or how about this one? Again, I don't know anything about this. Okay, well, let me just tell you. Guys, I'll tell you right off the bat, this is a mistake, but I promise you, it turns out okay. Maybe some of you guys in here, hopefully not yet, maybe some of you, maybe some of you guys in here made the mistake of asking a girl out or telling her that you like her over a text message instead of to her face. See, maybe you made that mistake, and maybe when you made that mistake, you were sitting in your bedroom on your bed, and then you were so scared of what she was going to respond and what she was going to say that you then took your phone and you threw it under your bed and you went to sleep just hoping that everything would be okay in the morning. Not that I did that, but I'm saying it's a mistake that could turn out awesome because maybe someday she'll marry you, and then maybe someday you'll have a baby on the way. You can ask Heather. That is a true story. It was a mistake I made, but God redeemed it, thankfully. Guys, don't do that. That's a big mistake. Be a man. Tell her to her face. Girls, be a girl. Slap him if he does. I'm just kidding. But what if God could actually take some of our mistakes and use them for his purpose? What if God took some of our worst moments and can turn them around for his good? See, the truth is, there's a lot of stories in this book that are exactly that. If you have your Bibles with you and you haven't already turned there, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as you're turning there, for some of you, you're already there, I want to tell you a story. And as I tell you this story, I don't want you to just listen. I want you to imagine yourself in this story. I want you to imagine that you're there and you're a part of what's happening. So it's 2,000 years ago. And the world looks a lot different than it does today. Buildings and cities are very, very different. The roads are dirt and stone. The buildings are made from bricks and rocks. There's no cars. People actually walk places. What are the odds? Life looks a little different. So one day you're walking through this city, and you come around the corner, and all of a sudden you see something that just kind of piques your interest. You look and you're like, what is going on? You see this group of people. They're loud. There's dust rising from the ground. There's commotion and chaos. And you're like, what is going on over there? You just kind of, it's a train wreck. You can't look away even though it doesn't look right. And you're staring and you're looking. And then all of a sudden the crowd splits a little bit. And you get a glimpse of a man. A man who's tattered and beat and bruised and laying in the middle of this group. He's actually being dragged by some of them. You're like, what are these people doing? What's going on here? And again, it sparks your interest. So you're like, I got to follow these people. They're moving quickly and dragging this man along in the dirt. And you're like, I got to follow them. What's going on? I got to see what's happening. So you follow them, and they continue to drag this man. They're screaming. They're angry. They're vicious. And they begin to drag this man all the way to just outside of town. And you stand there, just kind of to the back, because you don't want them to turn on you and get upset with you, so you're just kind of watching. Like, what is going on here? And you watch, and you're looking, and one by one, this mob of angry people begin to take off their coats and lay them at the feet of this man who just stands there, nodding and smirking, approving of everything that's happening. And suddenly you look and you're like, who's that guy? Who could be okay with this? Obviously, this isn't right. No human being should be treated this way. And then everything takes a turn for the worst. As you're watching, not only do they take off their coats and lay them at the feet of this man who's approving, they lay down their coats, but then they pick up a rock. And not just like the little landscaping rocks we have in Arizona, a stone, a river rock, something big. You're like, what? No, this can't be happening. And one by one, they begin to hurl stones at this man who lays there. With every blow, you begin to see the life exit his body until finally he lays there, bruised, bloody, and lifeless. And you look at the man who seemed to be okay with this and wonder, is this guy in charge? Who is this guy? Why would he just stand by and watch as they kill somebody so brutally? And then a couple weeks go by, a few months, and you begin to realize who this man is. Because he didn't stop there. See, that guy who at his feet, everybody laid their coats that day, he began to make a hobby of dragging people out of their homes and throwing them in prison, beating them, doing awful things to them, tossing them into jails. Why? Just because they believed in Jesus. See, this story is actually true. You can read it in Acts chapter 7. The story is of the man who died that day. His name was Stephen. He was the first martyr for our faith. He was the first person who died for being a Christian. And the man who from that day forward began making a hobby of persecuting and doing awful things to Christians, his name was Saul. Saul. And even though Saul's story started there, it didn't end anywhere near what happened that day. In fact, most of the New Testament in this book that you hold is written by that man named Saul. But he wrote it under a different name, one that may ring more of a bell. His name was changed to Paul. Paul, the man who faced radical life change, who went from being a guy who persecuted and did awful things to Christian people, actually did everything he could to tell other people about Jesus just years later. Something changed in his life. Something changed in his heart and turned him around. So we're going to read. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And as we read this, this is what Paul writes. Just years after he did awful, awful things to Christians, he writes this. And I want you to remember as we read this, I want you to remember the story I just told you. The kind of man that Paul used to be, who stood by and watched as Christians were beat, were killed, were thrown in jail just for believing in Jesus. Let's read. Verse 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance. I didn't know any better, and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Wow. The man who made a hobby of doing awful things for Christians, writes here, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. He writes here that God has actually now given him a job to do. That God now actually looks at him and says, hey, I have something really important that I want you to do. This man was once a literal enemy of God. He fought against everything that Jesus was. And now, something happened in his life and changed him. He met his Savior, Jesus, and it changed everything, so much to the point where now he gives everything he has to tell other people about Jesus. The one who was the blasphemer, the persecutor, the violent man is now probably the key person and spreading the gospel all over the world. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty amazing. And you look and you're like, okay, why would God choose a guy like Paul? Well, what does he say in verse 14? I'm sorry, verse 13. He says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. That word ignorance, it truly is. He's saying, I did those things because I didn't know any better. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know that there was another way to live. He actually thought when he was doing those things to Christians that he was like God's favorite at that time. Because he thought Jesus was this guy who came to actually destroy everything God did. He was wrong. He missed the Son of God. He missed God in human flesh. Because he acted in ignorance, God showed him mercy. He was lost in his sin. See, we've all been there. We know what it's like. For those of us that are Christians, we know what it's like to act in ignorance. We know what it's like to not know Jesus. And when we didn't know him, we acted differently because we didn't know there was another way to act. But I wonder, for those of us that are sitting in here today that are Christians, I wonder why we don't consider this more often. Like, how would your perspective change on the way you treated other people if you took this verse to heart? If you realized that they didn't know any better? Let's keep reading in verse 15 and see what Paul has to say. He says, I was ignorant. I did dumb things. Because of that, Christ showed me mercy. And look what he says here in verse 15. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul, this man of God, writing this letter to Timothy, writing this letter to a church, this dude that every Christian looked up to, says, I was the worst of sinners, but Christ came for me. What would change if you realized that Jesus came for the worst person you could think of? This is even hard. I'll be honest with you, and this isn't okay, but this is even hard for me to say what I'm about to say. But do you understand that Jesus loved people like Hitler? Do you understand that Jesus loved somebody like Osama bin Laden, who killed innocent people for no reason? And this one maybe seems less severe, But it's been in the news recently. Do you understand that Jesus loves a guy like Donald Sterling who said awful, awful things simply because people had a different skin color than he did? See, right here in verse 15, we see that Jesus came specifically for those people. He came to save sinners. I don't think we get this sometimes. And specifically, I'm talking to us that are Christians. I think sometimes we look at the rest of the world and we're just like, those people suck. Like, what is wrong with them? How could they do all of those awful, awful things? Gosh, I just want to be as far from those people as I can. We gossip about them. We're jerks to them. We're rude to those people because we're like, oh, how could they do those awful things? Just like Paul, they don't know any better. How can we hold somebody that's not a Christian to the same standard that we live at as Christians? If they don't know Jesus, how are they supposed to know that there's a better way to live? But yet sometimes I think we look at people who don't believe in Jesus and we look down on them. We look and say, you're nowhere as good as I am. We were all there at one point. And what if instead of looking down on those people who aren't any less than us, they just haven't seen and understood the grace of God that we do? What if instead of looking down on them, we showed them the love of Jesus? We did everything we could to be an example of Christ's love and grace and kindness. to them. We stop judging them. We stop gossiping about them. We stop being jerks to them. And instead, we love them. The truth is, you have no idea who that person is going to be tomorrow. Do you think there were Christians who looked at Saul and said, he's the worst of people. How could anyone want anything to do with him? And just years after he stood and approved of a Christian dying for believing in Jesus, he was going through imprisonment. He was shipwrecked. He was sick, hurt, hungry, went through all of that just to show people the love of Jesus Christ. You have no idea what Saul's today are going to be Paul's tomorrow. I wonder how that would change the way you treat other people who maybe don't believe like we do. I'm not telling you to do what they do. Obviously, that's not right. We know that Jesus calls us to a different way of living, but I'm telling you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to show them love, the love of God that you have and you know in your heart. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying. Jesus came to save sinners. I'm the worst one. And then in verse 16, he says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I think there's some of you that are sitting in here today that are Christians, and you look and you go, yeah, you know, I love Jesus. I know he loves me. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and that I get it. I get the gospel. I'm in relationship with Christ. But there's no way that Jesus would ever want to use me for anything. There's no way that I could ever do his good work because I've made way too many mistakes. What does Paul say right here? He puts that lie to bed. He says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Christian, if you're sitting in here today and you believe in Jesus and you're walking in relationship with him, you have to understand you're forgiven of all the mistakes you've made. God's forgiven you of the worst of your mistakes. And the truth is, he wants to use you. What if the mistakes that you've made could actually be an example for other people? Could actually maybe help other people from making those same mistakes? I mean, we're talking about big things here. Maybe some of you have looked at things that maybe you shouldn't have looked at. What if God could use you now as your life has changed? And he's given you freedom from those things to set an example for other people and maybe help them either out of that or help them to not to do that in the first place. Maybe some of you are sitting in here and you're just a bully, or you were a bully. What if God could use those mistakes, and now that your life looks different, now that you're kind to people, now that you love people because you understand the love and the grace of God, what if God could use your old ways to show other people that life change can really happen, that Jesus really is better than anything else? What if some of you in here you were horrible gossipers? That's all you did, was just talk bad about other people. And now you speak kindly. Now you show love. All of that's turned around. What if God could use the mistakes that you used to make to show people that he has a better way to live? That when he came in and he changed your heart and he changed the way that you live, people would see, oh my gosh, they're a new person. Who is this Jesus that they follow? He must be the real deal. I want you to know that if you've made mistakes, and you feel like, why would God ever want anything to do with me? I've been awful to other people. I get it. I've changed now, and I know he loves me, but he could never use my old mistake. He could never use me because I've done too many bad things. I want you to know that Paul says he's the worst of sinners. He sat by and watched the guy die simply for believing in Jesus. I think God can use your mistakes for his good and use your mistakes to set an example of the way he changes the lives of those who are in relationship with him. And then there's another group of you that are sitting in here today. Maybe I'm only talking to a specific few of you. But there's a group of you sitting in here today that may be sitting here and going, I've heard it all. I hear about Jesus. I get the gospel. I've heard that he died on a cross. I heard that he rose again. But there's no way that a perfect God would love the messed up person like me. There's no way that that would happen. Like, you don't know the things I've done. And some of you are like, oh, the worst thing I've ever done is like hit my little brother and sister. And that's fine. That's okay. But I really believe that there's some of you sitting in here at 12, 13, and 14 years old that have done some crazy stuff, have made some big mistakes. Maybe some of the things you've done would make some of us cringe if we knew. We would just look and go, oh, you're so young. Oh. But I want you to know that there's no mistake that you've made that God doesn't love you through. There's no mistake that you've made that God doesn't want to forgive you of. That perfect God came for people just like you. Look again at verse 15. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. If you're sitting here today and you're like, you know what, I've heard it all, but Jesus doesn't want anything to do with me. I can't be loved by him. I can't love him because I've done some dumb things. And I know what it's like. I did some stupid, bad things at 12, 13, and 14 years old. The truth is Jesus came for people like you. He came to save you in the middle of your mistakes. See, that's the gospel. That's the story of Christ. The Son of God, he came to earth, God in flesh. He showed up here and humbled himself to live like a human. He went and he lived a perfect life, never once making a mistake, never once doing anything wrong, never once sinning. And then he died on a cross, taking the death that we deserve because we sin, because we do the things that God tells us not to. We deserve death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death. And we're not talking physical death. We're all going to die. Spoiler alert, that's what happens. We're talking about something deeper, a spiritual death, being separated from God forever and ever. And that's what we deserve for going against what he wants for our lives. But Romans 6:23 doesn't stop there. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, even though he didn't deserve it, and then 3 days later rose again, showing us that death could not hold him down, showing us that death was no match for God, and showing us that once and for all, we could be forgiven of the mistakes that we've made. We could begin a relationship with him, and we could have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That eternally, forever and ever, when we die, we don't die. When we die, everything starts, and we begin our eternity in heaven with Christ Jesus. And maybe some of you are sitting here, and you're like, you know, I've heard that. And I want that, but I've never taken that free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus because I always thought my mistakes disqualified me. Paul says Christ came to save sinners, of whom he was the worst. He came for you. And honestly, it's simple. It's not too difficult. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe you've been sitting here and you're like, gosh, I've been wanting that. And I want to believe that in my heart, but I just got to let go of these mistakes. What if today can be that day? What if today can be that day? Bow your heads and close your eyes. We're gonna pray. As we pray today, and we conclude, I'm gonna pray for a few groups of us. I'm gonna pray for a few things specifically, and I think maybe they apply to different people in this room. The first thing I'm gonna pray for is that we would stop judging people who don't believe like we do. That we would stop gossiping and being jerks because people maybe live in a way that we know that we're not supposed to. I'm going to pray that God gives us the courage to stand up and not go that way and not do those things and live that way, but also that he gives us the love and the grace to show other people Jesus through the way that we live. That we would stop judging and we would start loving other people, because we have no idea what Saul's today may be Paul's tomorrow. And then the second group of people I'm going to talk to are those of us sitting in here that are Christians, that have accepted Christ, accepted his free gift, but maybe sit here and say, there's no way that God could use me to do anything. There's no way that God could use me to reach my friends. They knew what I used to be like. They knew me as the bully. They knew me as the gossip. They knew me as the person who did things that I know I shouldn't have done. But I'm going to pray that God would show you the way that he wants to use you. I'm going to pray that God would give you the understanding that he can use your mistakes to maybe set an example of his patience, to set an example of his love and his kindness. So maybe you could actually help others from making those mistakes themselves. And then finally, I'm going to pray for those of us that are sitting in here that maybe our mistakes have been the one thing holding us back from accepting that free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray, and as I pray for you, I want you to pray. If that's you today and you're like, I'm ready, I get it, I'm ready to let go of the things I've done, and I want that life in Christ. It says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I want you, as I pray, I want you to talk to God and let him know that you love him and that you want him in your life. And the second part of that verse says, and you believe in your heart. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and that was enough to forgive you of every mistake you've ever made and enough to give you eternal life in Christ Jesus, an eternity in heaven with him. I want you to just pray on your own, if that's you. When we get there, I want you to talk to God. He hears you, and he wants to hear your voice, and he wants to know from you that you're ready to start a new story with him, and that you're ready. Just like Saul became Paul, you're ready for things to change in your life. Let's pray. Lord, your love is so good. Your grace and your mercy is unbelievable. It doesn't make sense. We don't deserve it. I guess that's why it's grace. And God, you know our hearts. You know the hearts of every single student in this room. And I pray that over these next few moments, Lord, that you would speak to them directly. God, for the first group of students, I pray for those of us in here that maybe struggle with the way that we look at people who don't believe the same as we do. Maybe the way that we look at people who act in ways that we know aren't right. God, I pray that you would help us to stop judging them because they don't know better. They don't know you. And instead of judging them or being jerks to them, I pray that you would use us to show your love and your kindness and your grace so that maybe they see you. Or maybe they want what we have and that freedom in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would give us the boldness to be kind to other people, the patience to love other people, God, and help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to be an example for those around us, to show love and grace to maybe those who are commonly ignored or commonly made fun of or commonly treated awful because of the way they act. I pray that we would love them because you love them so much and you came to save sinners. You would help us maybe in some way, and humbly we ask that you would maybe help us be a part in showing them you. And God, I pray for a second group in here. Maybe those in here that are like, man, you can never use me, God. You know the things I've done. I know that we're close. I know that we talk. But God, I know that you would never use me to do anything for you, to be anything you want me to be. God, I pray that you would just get rid of that lie from students who maybe believe that today. And Lord, that you would show them clearly the way that you can use their mistakes to be an example for other people. The way that their life, the way it looks, how they went from Saul's to Paul's, God, that would be an example of love and grace and this incredible life change that only you can do. And that it would show other people the power of your Spirit, the power of your love. I pray that for everybody in here that maybe struggles with that or wonders about that, that you would clearly show them the way that you can turn their mistakes around to show people who you are. And finally, Lord, as they pray on their own, I pray for the last group that we talked about. I pray for those who maybe the mistakes that they've made have been the one thing holding them back from entering a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would show them love. I pray that you would show them grace, and in this moment as they speak to you, God, I pray that you would meet them there, that forever, from this day forward, you would change the course of their life, God, in the best way possible, that they would realize their mistakes do not disqualify them. Instead, they actually qualify them for your grace and for your love, and I pray that they would receive that and accept that they would confess with their mouth that you are Lord and believe in their heart that God raised you from the dead, once and for all, getting rid of all our mistakes and giving us eternal life in your presence forever and ever. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love and your grace and your kindness. And we thank you that you use and you love messed up people like we used to be. But you came in and you changed us and you restored us to your righteousness in Christ Jesus. I love you. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before you head out of here today, for those of you that maybe made that decision to follow Christ for the first time today, please do not leave this room without talking to a leader. That's what they're here for. They want to talk to you. They want to help you get started. We have some really great things. I shouldn't say that. But we have some stuff here as a junior high ministry that are built to just help you on this walk, on this journey in your relationship with God. So please stop and talk to a leader, an adult, before you leave. Maybe if you've made mistakes today and you're like, I just need to get it off my chest. I just need to talk to somebody about the things I've done. Stop again. See a leader. They're in the back of the room. Talk to them. And please know this. We love you so much. We love you so much. You're incredible, incredible, incredible people. And know that God's forgiven you of everything you've done. He can use you in spite of your mistakes, and he's with you always. Have an incredible week. We'll see you on Wednesday for Dive if you come to that. If not, we'll see you next weekend. Catch you later.